Buck, good morning, and I want you to begin with Tony Elliott at Clemson. He is reportedly a candidate at Tennessee. Tennessee fans want a established head coach, which I don't think they're going to get. I don't think so either, Bill.
I'm glad you said that, but go ahead.
So your thoughts on Tony Elliott and his preparedness for the next step, wherever it may be.
So, I don't know Tony as well as I know Jeff Scott.
Right.
Jeff was at Florida State, so Jeff and I hit it off. Tony and I always see each other. He's always good to me. I think he grew up in California. There's a great story if folks haven't seen it about him, so I'm not going to go into that. But I think Tony Elliott is pound for pound one of the best play callers. He and Jeff Scott had a great combination of what they did. He's now the offensive coordinator at Clemson. And you just think about the era of time, you know, whether he's been there, whether it was starting with, I think he touched Taj Boyd a little bit, but then Deshaun Watson, you now see Trevor Lawrence. And they really, he's been a key component to that from a recruiting standpoint, but also a culture. And you know, Dabo, as good as he is as a CEO and can, you know, do it, and I think Dabo doesn't get enough credit for his X and O skills as well, but his ability to pick a staff and how they've stayed together. They've lost a few guys, and you're starting to see that now. But I just think Tony Elliott, he should have been a head coach a couple of years ago if he wanted to. I think he's wanted to stay. He's watched his guys like Etienne now, who's going to be leaving and moving on. They've had, you know, Wayne Gallman. If you think about the running back position, which he coaches as well as offensive coordinator, I don't think Tennessee could go wrong one stretch of the imagination. And it's not about him being a black coach. It's about him being a damn good coach at the college level and can recruit with the best of them. And Tennessee, I'm going to just tell all of you Vol fans, because I'm a Bruin, we're going through it too. So I'm saying this with sincerity. You got to stay out of the way and let somebody get in there and make sure they build a program. Get rid of all that BS that's going on. We haven't done it at UCLA, so I'm telling you from a purposeful perspective. And we were both good programs at around the same time battling. Now we're unheard of. Let someone get in there as an athletic director and a coach and build your program back. And it starts with getting guys that understand how to recruit and know what it takes to build championships. And Tony Elliott has been there every step of the way with Dabo, both good, bad, and indifferent. So if he's on your list of people, I don't give a crap if he hadn't been a head coach. He's going to be a damn good coach because he's going to build a program and he's going to get people and he's going to get Vol fans back thinking about their program.
I was just thinking of the West Coast where you played.
Uh-huh.
But the late, great, yeah, G-word, great, Bill Walsh, at one point was somebody's assistant. I mean, you can't be born as the head coach. You have to be given the chance to be a head coach.
Exactly, people, Bill. And you got to be a leader of men, too, Bill. You got to be a leader of men. And he's been able to do that consistently. Bill Walsh was on the verge of, early in his career, people were saying he couldn't get it done. He wasn't this, he wasn't that. And how many Super Bowls did he win? Yeah, he had great players, but he put those players in position to make plays.
You mentioned Jeff Scott now down at USF, and he was there at Clemson. His dad, Brad Scott, it seems just like yesterday, wasn't that he was on that Florida State staff in the 90s that was so good, winning all those games. And then he got hired at South Carolina. I remember that press conference vividly at South Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and talking to Pat Carter, who I know pretty well, he just raves about, you know, Brad and Jeff. He remembers Jeff because Jeff was a little kid. He was, you know, for those of you who don't know Pat Carter, he was one of the reasons why I like Florida State. I said, who's this big number 85 running around making plays?
Right.
It was Pat Carter. And then he said the same thing about me. Who's that 81 at UCLA? Good Lord, because he went to the Rams and a lot of our guys ended up, UCLA guys ended up going to the Rams. But nonetheless, the Scott family is a coaching family. And I just think when you have that in your blood and you can talk ball and you can be honest, and they know that when I, you know, some great conversations I've had over the years with with Jeff and also Tony. But like I said, I just know Jeff better. But just to watch them make calls and plays and design offenses and watch them get kids in and develop them, I think that's the real key. When you look at programs that are going to succeed, you're going to get your share of 4 or 5 stars. But you got to also get those 3 stars that become guys that you never thought would be as good as they are. And I think that's where programs like Tennessee are going to have to get back to. You're not going to beat Alabama to every single player. But there's some really good players out there that still want to wear that orange. And I think that's the big thing, even with South Carolina. I mean, you look at the SEC and you just start to say, okay, we may not be the top of the top, but you can still get really good players, and they still want to come play good football, and they still want to build a program. And there's some guys that don't want to go to Alabama. They want to go somewhere where they can be the ones to say, hey, I helped this program get back to the level that it needed to.
Charles Arbuckle with us every Tuesday. Buck, when you played and you were a receiving tight end, they threw the ball to you. You weren't just some inline blocker who was a glorified tackle. My question, though, did you foresee decades down the road where the tight end position would be so valuable and a commodity position? Because it was really back in the day, I'm not going to say it was an afterthought, but it wasn't that respected either as a key component.
Yeah, I think I started to see it as I transitioned out of the league. You know, you saw Shannon Sharp. You know, you saw offenses that really put a premium on tight ends, you know, that really valued what they could do. The concern I always had was that we were moving to spread offenses and saying, hey, we don't need that big body. But as you notice, look at Travis Kelce. Kelce can get on the end line and block, but he also is a guy that his ability to run routes, it breaks you down. Gronk, when he was younger, and still, he can still do it occasionally. So I think the biggest thing is, no matter if you have 3 wides, that big body is a matchup problem for linebackers, safeties, anybody else. And I had always just kind of thought that at some point people were going to figure out, if you're making these linebackers smaller, like when I played, you know, Carl Banks was 6'5", 250. You don't see a lot of those inline guys. Those guys now put their hand in the dirt and they become defensive ends. So, yeah, I mean, when you see the maturation of how it is and how guys have progressed, it's a prime example. Mercedes Lewis, who's probably, 15, 16 years in, I highlighted a block he had. And Mercedes was considered a receiving guy, even when he first got to the league.
Yeah.
He took Jason Pierre-Paul and moved him 10 yards. Now, Jason Pierre-Paul had a hell of a game, but you don't see a grown man moving another grown man like that. And that's the thing you have sometimes when you have the capability of having a guy on the end of the line that can block, but also if you need him to get down the field in the seam and take a big shot. So, yeah, you could see it coming. You could see Antonio Gates. You could see Tony Gonzalez. You could see it. But there were still some teams that just figured, hey, I'll have a big guy that looks like a tackle, and then we'll have an H-back that can kind of move and occasionally put him in the game. You're seeing now more 12 personnel where you have a real inline guy, but he can still make plays, and then you have a guy that's a move guy that causes matchup problems. And you see Kansas City doing it a lot. You see other teams. So I think it's a copycat league, and as you see, no matter how much spread you see run, you still need to run the football when you want to. You still got to get first downs. You still got to make plays. That's where you have the tight end that plays such a vital role.
I'm watching some of the NFL games over the weekend, the championship games. What is Gronk's role with them? I only saw, and it was a big play, a big conversion play, and it was in the second half, but I don't think they targeted him other than that one play, again, unless I just didn't see it. What's his role on that team?
His role is really if you've noticed, their run game has improved. Gronk has always been a really good blocker. He always has done that. Occasionally, they will use him in the pass game, and I think he and Brady are so – on, you know, simpatico that he knows when he has to do that. He's not used as much. I don't think they, you know, he's not going to get, if they run 70 plays, I don't see Gronk being, you know, all 70 of those plays. They use him where needed. I'll tell you, the one guy that's profited the most from Gronk being there is Cameron Brate, who I don't think has ever gotten his due But if you look at the guys that have scored touchdowns over the last 5-10 years, he's been right at the mix of that. But he's one of those guys that we always talk about Kelsey. We talk about all these other tight ends. He doesn't get mentioned much, but Cameron Brate's ability in that offense has improved because Gronk is there, and it's allowing him, just like that touchdown, that one that we saw when they were playing 12 personnel, they had almost flank position. They blocked down. Safety totally forgets about Cameron Brate. He's in for 6. You see that a lot now. So Gronk's role is, hey, to get Leonard Fournette and Aaron Jones running the football well and to provide Brady with a guy that he knows is a personal protector. If you have a speed-rushing team like you will see, and he's there to chip, he's there to do some of the dirty work, and then occasionally they'll throw him a bone and he'll dance afterwards because he knows they've been to the Super Bowl, right? His true nature is to be there with Tom to enforce whatever Tom says and probably be his funny enforcer, so to speak. He's there to provide comic relief, but Gronk is a hell of a player and has been a hell of a player for most of his career.
Buck, I'll let you run on this. The last few years have been down on Leonard Fournette. The injuries, the lack of productivity. He's kind of finding a nice little spot here, hasn't he? He's doing pretty well.
Yeah. I think we're starting to see what Jacksonville's culture needs to be, and Urban has a lot of work to do there, and I think Leonard has been humble, right?
Yeah.
You're the third or fourth player pick. He was doing some things at LSU that I was like, hey, man, come on, get yourself together. But I like what he's done. He went in there and was humble, right? And now what are we saying? We're seeing the Leonard Fournette of what we all thought he would be, and it kind of started late in the season. But when you go home sometimes and you get some of that good home cooking, he ran well against the Saints. He ran well this past weekend. I think in order for the Buccaneers to win the Super Bowl, they're going to have a run game because Tom Brady can be as hot as he was in that first half. That's how bad he was in the second half because if you put pressure on him, you take him away. The run game is going to be key for them to beat Kansas City to control Patrick Mahomes and that quick strike offense. But with all that said, I think Leonard Fournette has really shown his value. And that was a great move by Bruce Arians and that staff of bringing him in and saying, look, you got to work your way back into shape, and you also have to be ready when we call on you. And one last thing. Let's give Byron Leftwich a lot of credit. Bruce Arians has said right away, I'm going to let Byron call plays. Byron's ability to link with Tom Brady, who has won all those Super Bowls, and get this offense going. Because it was in a quagmire at a certain point in the year, remember? They're starting to really get going, and that first half showed me that they're on the same page. They just better be ready for Kansas City's pressure that's coming off the edge, and you know they're going to come with a lot of the corner plays. Tyrann Mathieu is going to be there. So I'm really looking forward to the Super Bowl just to see the matchups, but I got to give Byron Leftwich a lot of credit for what he's been able to do with that offense and helping Tom Brady get it to those weapons and get comfortable.
Buck, always good stuff, sir. Appreciate it, man.
Hey, man, you have a good one. Take care.